Welcome, Joy. It's an honor to have you with us, and I appreciate sincerely how you have taken out the time to honor my request. I thank you for your generosity of time and knowledge.
Oh, you're very welcome, and I'm very happy to be here, Dilshad.
So let's start, Joy, with this basic question. What are some of the basic life success tools that a person can develop in their own personality?
The first place that a person needs to start, I believe, is in realizing how important they are. Each person has their own set of talents and gifts that they've come here with. And in their heart, they have a vision for something, how life can be better, how their family can be better, how they can be better. And if each of us would willingly contribute that vision, our world would continue to become a better place. So the first thing we need to do is to ask ourselves, what do I really want? What is that vision that's in my heart? And it may be a vision for a child's education. It may be a vision for their husband's career success. It may be something that they themselves want to do. It may be for greater harmony in their family, because if we have greater harmony in one family, then it's like wildfire. It will catch on, and there's more harmony in our whole world. So the first thing they need to do is to say, what is my vision? What is on my heart that needs to happen that's not happening yet? And they must realize how very, very important that is for them to contribute that. So once that is nicely defined, they need to put it in writing. What outcomes do I want? Now, they don't have to take on the whole world all at one time.
Right.
You know, how they say, how do you eat an elephant?
Yeah.
One bite at a time.
Exactly.
All right. So I suggest that people start with one thing that they want to have accomplished in their world to see differently. And once that's been accomplished, then they can go on to the next thing. They need to make a commitment to this. Okay. And I'm going to share something by W.H. Murray. It's one of my favorite quotes. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too.
So this commitment is
very important, yes. And then he goes on to say, all sorts of things occur to help one that would never have otherwise occurred. And I think all of us can remember a time where we were 100% committed to seeing something happen, and everything suddenly started to fall into place.
Definitely. And I think everybody can relate to that in their life experiences about this, that once they are committed and they are determined to do something, you know, they cast their own path.
Right. What happens for a lot of people is that they see the obstacles and they focus on the obstacles instead of on the solution. We must learn to become solution oriented. And when we begin to become solution oriented, we're holding that vision for what we want to see come about. And in so doing, if we stay solution oriented, those solutions will begin to appear. I taught a class last night at the University of Texas at Arlington called Life Success Through Positive Attitude. And I had a student in class whose mother has been a previous student of some other classes that I've taught. And she came up and she shared a success story with me that she wanted to give her children a certain education. And then they thought it was going to be too much money. And then all of a sudden she said, you know, my mother taught me to think of solutions. And she began to say, a solution is appearing now. The next day she woke up and she realized that the money that she had been spending on the children's education had not been factored into the overall picture. So it turned out to only be $300 more a month that they needed. And she said, we can do that. And before she began to be solution oriented, though, when she was thinking fear and negative thoughts, she was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to quit my part-time job working for my mother, which I love. I'm going to have to take a full-time job. The kids will have to go to daycare.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah,
blah.
All the negative. And when we get on the negative, we start going down a downward spiral. We've got to stop and go, no, what's the solution here? And once we're fully committed to having a solution,
right,
then all sorts of things begin to occur. It can come through a book that someone happens to give us.
Right.
I've had that happen so many times. It can be a phone call from a friend that's just attended the seminar that says, oh, let me share with you something I've just learned.
That's so true.
It can come through a dream. It can come from waking up in the morning with this great idea, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we need to remember is don't ask how. When we have something on our heart that needs to happen, it's not our job to ask how it's going to happen. Right. Our job is to define what.
Right.
And when we define what, we begin to direct things in a way that we're open to however it's going to come.
Definitely.
Richard Bach in his book Illusion said, imagine the universe as beautiful as you possibly can, and know that the infinite is has imagined it even more beautiful.
That's wonderful, Dr. Joy. I would like to say, as you said, that it can come from anywhere, and let me tell you, it can come from the radio show too.
Absolutely.
Whatever
yes.
you said, it can just come,
yes.
and you know, it can change people, whatever the message is. And also, there is a quote on your website that I have read. I read last night. Every challenge has a solution,
absolutely.
And I loved it.
Yes.
So, Joy, you do a lot of workshops and seminars on living a life of excellence. In this relation, how can a stay-home mom relate and value her identity and achieve happiness by reframing her thoughts?
Well, the first thing I think a woman needs to realize is how much power she really has to change the world, to change her family, to change her children's direction, all right? And when she begins to be solution-oriented and listening to her vision
right.
because she's realized her
mm-hmm.
worth, then she realizes that her children are learning from her
mm-hmm.
what life is. If you look at children who are raised believing in their potential, how much more easily they achieve that potential than if they're raised with belittling and criticism,
mm-hmm.
put downs. It's so important the words that a parent uses to a child. Everything that this parent is saying to the child is going into their subconscious mind.
Absolutely.
And the subconscious is just like a computer, and for the rest of their lives, it's going to feed that information back to them.
That's definitely true. So it is very, very important how we behave with the child and our modeling, because that transcends all the energy into the child.
Yes. And Dilshad, through our children, we're creating the tomorrow of our world.
Yes.
You know, and when we teach a child love through loving them,
mm-hmm.
they're going to go out into the world as a loving human being. If we teach them acceptance, they're going to be accepting of themselves and others. If we teach a child criticism and judgment, then they go out into the world as a judgmental, critical person.
Right.
So the mother has tremendous molding power to where our world is actually going.
Definitely. And when she realizes that power, she is out there, you know, creating the future of tomorrow.
And the first step is a woman must realize her worth. It's an intangible that we see results down the trail sometimes. It may not be immediate.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely a long-term thing, and we may not see the results like instantly, but they are there, and they will become our future.
Yes, our society has come to not honor the mother who stays at home with children.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the whole thing is. You know, she feels kind of deprived, and at times she's also not validated by the people around her.
Yes.
So that's why she feels mm-hmm. that she doesn't have self-worth. And I think every person needs to be validated for the work they do, no matter how little that work is, or because the nature of raising children, I feel, is so priceless.
Yes.
It's so emotional, and it's so intellectual at the same time, because mm-hmm. the mom is a psychologist, catering to different age levels.
Absolutely. You know, in 1970 and 71, I said to myself, I wouldn't bring a child into this world. It was such a mess, I thought. Of course, it was during the days of the Vietnam War and so
mm-hmm.
on. And it was during those days where we were starting to ask, does it have to be this way?
Right.
You know, it was my generation that was asking, can life be different? You know, and I went into a negative judgment saying, well, I wouldn't bring children into this world because it's such a negative place. Well, I had a very pleasant surprise in 1972 of giving birth to this beautiful baby boy.
Oh.
And 30 years later, this son comes to me and says, Mother, I have developed my mission statement.
Oh, my God.
And it is to positively impact 100 million people while I'm here.
My God, I'm getting goosebumps
mm-hmm.
here.
Yes. So see, my determining how limited the is, it limited the great possibilities of life.
Right.
You know, and I don't know of anyone who's positive enough to figure out how, but we must give that up and just say, what? You know, I want to help make the world a better place. Well, how in my life, one of the ways that was to come about was through me raising this child. And I hear all of my children say back to me things that I've taught them, you know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It comes back, definitely. Because I feel like even when we are raising our children, Joy, there is your mom in you who is raising her grandchildren.
Absolutely.
In so many ways, just as you spoke about the subconscious.
Yes.
Because you are feeding your children through those subconscious words and
yes.
attitudes. Joy, this question certainly cuts through cultures. Do women tend to tolerate what they really don't like? How do different cultures react to that?
I believe that things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
And women are realizing that they do not have to tolerate things that they don't like.
Right.
I remember back in the 60s when I was looking for a job, and I was applying for the same job that a man was applying for and was being offered half the wages, mm-hmm. simply because I was a woman, because it was thought that women didn't need the money because they had some man to take care of them. Well, people don't think like that anymore. So
yeah,
I think
exactly.
a woman seeing her worth is changing, and in that changing, then she's not going to tolerate what she doesn't want. A woman is learning now that they have a right to say no.
Exactly.
And little girls are raised that they can't say no, and they can't show anger.
Yes.
Anger is our innate within us showing us that our boundaries are being violated somehow. It's a knee-jerk reaction that says no.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas men have traditionally been trained to not feel, that it's not okay for them to show their feelings, women are trained it's not okay to show their anger. So I see this changing now,
mm-hmm.
and I see it changing quickly. And the women that I do one-on-one coaching with, and the women that attend my seminars, the light bulb comes on more easily now than it did for them 25 years ago.
Exactly.
There's a story that Ken Keyes tells in his book, The 100th Monkey,
mm-hmm.
about a study that was done on an island where scientists took monkeys, sweet potatoes that had been washed in the river. They showed them how to wash their sweet potatoes in the river before they ate them. And so the young monkeys thought it was a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the older monkeys poo-pawed it and thought it was ridiculous. Well, we've always eaten the grit, too. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, the older monkeys died out, and the younger monkeys had baby monkeys, and they taught their baby monkeys how to wash their sweet potatoes
mm-hmm.
in the river. And then one day, it became, quote-unquote, monkey consciousness. It was
right.
the way things were done by monkeys, and all of a sudden, on other surrounding islands, all the monkeys washed their sweet potatoes in the river. So
right.
I see this happening with women.
Right.
Now, let's talk about the payoff of that. Can we, Dilshad?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
All right. The payoff is that... of that is that we teach our children to respect us, okay? When they see that we don't tolerate what's not really okay, we're modeling to our children to do the same thing.
Right.
We're modeling self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can we teach a child to respect themselves if we don't respect ourselves? And a part of us respecting ourselves is by saying no when it's appropriate.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Now, our spouses are going to respect us, and that creates more love.
Definitely.
It may rock the boat a little bit at first, but in their hearts, I've seen so many men, well, what I liked about her at first was she was so independent and she knew her own mind.
Yeah.
And then unconsciously, we go into the relationship, and our programming has been to defer our power to the male.
Right.
All right? And when we do that, we put ourselves in a submissive role, and we become dependent. I've seen women that forgot how to make a decision because they'd become so dependent upon their man.
Exactly.
All right?
Yeah.
So when dependency opens the door to abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So when we take our power back, which is really about love, it's not carrying a sword and a shield and a gun or anything like that. It's about our love for ourselves. It's an empowerment that comes from within our heart.
Right.
We realize that if we're being true to ourselves, like Shakespeare said, 1,200 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Or in the 1,200 ADs, to thine own self be true, and as false as night the day, thou canst be false to any man. Well, that is just as true today as it was then.
Right.
So if you're being true to yourself, then that allows space for the other person with you to also be true to themselves.
That's
so
right.
It allows everyone in the family unit to go to a higher level of relating.
Exactly. And also there is a higher level of spiritual growth when you know yourself and you transcend that.
Yes.
You send those spiritual messages to your children.
Yes.
That, you know, you have to express yourself, what your needs are. And in that cycle, as you mentioned, that when you give the decision-making and everything, the submissive role. Here, we do not intend to tell or give the message that we have to be aggressive, we have to be rebellious. What we are trying to tell the audience here is that you need to express yourself very, mm-hmm. so your needs are met. And then you are not kind of, you know, internally depressed and internally you feel that you have no voice and nobody's taking care of you. But sometimes what we do is we give that kind of charge to the other people to treat us like that because mm-hmm. the other person doesn't know. Right. So when you express it to them, they say, okay, we will do it the way you want it. And sometimes I feel like when, as you have taken workshops and you would know too, and we when we do parenting workshops, some men and fathers come and tell us, you know, my wife never told that to me. How would I know?
Exactly. Yes.
So this is how, you know, things happen and change once you start being true to yourself. Joy ke saath hamari baatcheet chalti rahegi. Aayye ek chota sa short break lete hain. We will be back after this short break. Show with your host, Coast to Coast, Dilshad. With our special guest today, Joy Vanderbeck, jo Success Institute ki founder hai aur jo zindagi ke bare mein bahut sari companies mein employees ko successful skills aur communication skills aur uske ilawa motivational tips aur uske bare related bahut sare seminars aur workshops deliver karti hain. Hum hamari baatcheet unke saath kar rahe hain. Aur hamara agla sawal unse hai, Joy, tell us, what does it take for a woman to define her purpose? And by doing so, can she become more empowered?
I'd like to suggest that someone make a list of all the things that they feel that they're good at,
okay.
their talents, the their strengths. Special abilities. Make a list of everything that they can think of.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing that they do is to make a list of all the things that they love to do.
Okay.
And this may be listening to people. It may be creative writing. It can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then to pick out the top three of both of those lists,
mm-hmm.
all right, that will start them in the direction of seeing what their true purpose is because each of us has been born with certain sets of talents that are unique to us.
Absolutely.
Right? And it's through expressing those particular talents that we will find our greatest fulfillment and be able to realize our purpose.
So we have to make this reflective journey. It's a must. So that way we know what we are good at and mm-hmm. what we, how we can achieve those things.
Yes.
Joy, as you are aware, it's a very common pattern of behavior as humans tend and try to change and work hard and sometimes to the point of draining oneself with the hope that they will be able to change the other person. And this is very common in our culture also. That we try, and if we are married to somebody, we will try to make that person be what we want them to be, or the other significant half would try that to change us. So what do you have to say in this process?
I like to think of two circles that are overlapping.
Mm-hmm.
You're one circle, the other person's the other circle, and the overlap area is the relationship.
Okay.
What most people tend to do is they abandon themselves and go hop into the other person's circle to try to change them rather than to go into the overlapping area and just asking for what it is that they want.
Right, right. I think that's a great way to approach it. It's a very soothing, though, kind of a response, and people seem to at times just get immune to it. Dr. Joy, tell us, does it really help to get people feel sorry for oneself?
Yes, you know, that's one of the control dramas. There are four control dramas, the intimidator victim. And it's also sometimes called intimidator poor me and the interrogator aloof. So when someone is trying to get them to feel sorry for themselves, they're playing the poor me, all right? And
right.
what matches with that is the intimidator.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't work because what happens is abuse begins to take place.
Okay.
All right. So when we are attempting to evoke someone's pity,
mm-hmm.
we are so out of our empowerment. We can
okay.
stand up straight and say, this is what I want and need very directly.
Right.
Often it's met with respect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And often it's met with good results.
Okay.
Okay. When we see ourselves in the poor me role, mm-hmm. we begin to lose respect for ourselves.
Right.
And after a while, resentment sets in. We really resent ourselves, but we usually are not in ownership of that self-resentment. And so we project it onto the other person, so we start to resent them. Also, the person that we are playing mm-hmm. the poor me role with starts to resent us, because why do they need to carry us around on their back when we can stand on our own two feet?
Right.
Okay.
So this is like, initially, people may like it. Is it that way? Like, people like to stay are gratified with the self-pity notion, and people are coming in feeling sorry for you. And then later on, you start building resentment. So is this like a feedback loop?
Well, Dilshad, it's one of the common ways that we've been taught to, quote, love, unquote.
Uh-huh.
And it's called the Cartman drama triangle.
Okay.
We are taught to play victim so that someone will come in and show us, quote, love, unquote, by rescuing us.
Right.
But mm-hmm. after a period of time, the rescue turns into persecution, because often the victim doesn't do what the rescuer wants them to do.
Exactly.
All right. And this is a very common way that we've had, quote, love, unquote, modeled to us, and it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much better for a person to rethink, and instead of inviting self-pity, just analyze the situation and work it out.
Absolutely, Dilshad.
So, Dr. Joy, this is one of the key questions that influences and embraces lots of personality responses of women. And I feel that is, does a woman's desire to be loved influences our behavior?
You know, a person's desire to be loved, not just women,
right,
influences most of life.
True.
The problem is that most people have not learned healthy ways to create love in their world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have clients that come in and say, oh, he doesn't do this, and he doesn't do that, and my children don't do this, and they don't do that, and I feel so unloved. So I give them an assignment to find their own self-love,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Okay.
And to affirm the love that is in their world. Once we get started focusing on the positive, it's going to increase.
Okay. Dr. Joy's conclusive remarks, could you tell us what are the tools for life success?
Okay. So some more tools are to stay solution-oriented, as we've talked about, all right? Staying focused on the positive.
Okay.
All right. We want to stay focused not on what the problem is, but what the outcome is that we desire.
Okay.
We need to watch our words, watch our languaging.
Okay.
Eliminate the word try.
Okay.
Because trying is lying.
Okay.
If you say to your 10-year-old son, go down the hall and make up your bed, and he says, okay, Mom, I'll try, you think that bed's going to get made? It's not likely.
So what is the other option then? What is the other word, the power word that we need to use instead of?
I will, I am,
okay.
I do.
Okay, mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay.
In using positive languaging, building a sentence to offset the challenge is a powerful, powerful tool. It's called an affirmation.
Okay.
So if you take the outcome that you want and you put it in the present tense,
mm-hmm.
and you say, I am, even though you're not there yet, you're affirming that this is so. And in affirming that, your mind begins to believe that it's so, and it will create it.
Okay.
You'll find yourself automatically and unconsciously doing all the things that you need to do to create that being so.
Okay.
Present tense and positive. So instead of, I will always be on time, that's future. No, I am on time.
Okay.
All right. Instead of, I will be loved, or I want to be loved, or I can't be loved, you say, I am loved.
Okay.
And
so
in saying, I am loved, you bring it into the now.
Okay. So it's the present tense that you live in and you affirm yourself.
Yes. Claiming your day is a very powerful tool, and that is when your eyes open in the morning to say, this is going to be a terrific day.
Okay.
I had a friend that taught me to do this, and so I began to do it with my youngest son, who was still at home. So I would go to his door in the morning, and I'd say, good morning, Christian. What kind of day is it going to be today? And I'd hear this cheerful voice say from the other side of the door, it's going to be a terrific day, Mama. And so we would start our day in that wonderful way.
Okay.
And it started with a positive feeling,
positive note,
with
yes.
love, with sharing with each other. And then one morning, I was at the kitchen sink, and he had turned 13 about 3 days before that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was difficult to deal with. He
right.
was not a positive person. And I looked at him, and I said, are you the same person I've been living with for the last 13 years? What did you do with my son? You know? So the next morning I go to his door and I go, good morning, Christian. What kind of day is it going to be today? And I heard, So I went on into the kitchen, started making breakfast, and he came in and he was grumpy and didn't we already have this one day this week and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. All right. So he didn't come home that afternoon. And so I thought, that's odd. I felt like he was okay, but something was a little unusual. Mm-hmm. So about 45 minutes went by and I heard the front door open and I heard his big feet on my hardwood floors, clonk, clonk, clonk. Mm-hmm. Mom, where are you? Mm-hmm. Come in here. So I said, what happened? And he said, I will never say that again in the morning as long as I live. And I said, what happened to you today? He says, well, I forgot my homework.
Okay.
I got caught chewing gum. So I got D-Hall. And because I got D-Hall, I missed the bus and I had to run home miles from school. And as you know, I've got football practice in about a half hour. So he learned right then. He said, I will never do that again as long as I live. If we practice starting that day, mm-hmm. the positive way, it's going to be a terrific day. And we keep our mind on that thought.
Right.
It will sustain us throughout the day because right. we're always at choice. If someone cuts us off in traffic, we're at choice. How are we going to react to that?
Exactly.
All right. And I remember at one point in time making a decision. I'm not going to let this interrupt my happiness.
Definitely.
I'm going to choose that. I did choose that.
Because it's not worth it.
That's absolutely. Maybe build an affirmation after you claim your day would be a great thing.
Right.
Okay. Reading something positive in the morning. Mm-hmm. If we turn on the news or we go out and grab the newspaper and we're reading all the terrible things that have occurred all over the world, Lord. Do we really want to start our day that way?
No.
What kind of day do you want to have?
Exactly.
So if you have a positive book like Think and Grow Rich or any of the positive thinking books, it will feed your mind with something very good to start off with.
Exactly. All right? Even meditation and yoga are the best practices people have been doing, you know, to start off their mornings.
Yes. I like to end my day with gratitude thoughts.
Definitely.
You know, we can focus on everything we didn't get that day.
Yeah.
Or we can focus on
what
we got. Okay. And if we are in a state of joy, if we're in a state of happiness,
right.
then that joy and happiness is going to expand because energy follows thought.
Right.
Thoughts become things. So when we're holding it in our heart, the law of attraction says it's going to attract more to us.
True.
Mm-hmm.
True.
I've seen times where I've assigned the gratitude exercise with couples. Mm-hmm. They've become critical of one another.
Right.
And I say, go home and write down 10 things that you appreciate about your spouse.
Okay.
And when they come back the next time, their attitude has changed greatly because they have come to see the good in the person, like they did when they were first together, see?
Exactly.
We can also do that with our children if we start to have challenges with a child.
Right.
Instead of being afraid of their behavior, oh my goodness, where is this taking them? We can affirm the goodness of that child, how smart they are and how productive they are and so on.
Right. And these things, you know, like as you mentioned, take time. It's not exactly the same code, but it says take time to smell the flowers. And similarly, on that note, take time to appreciate and not just take things for granted when it comes to marriage life. So stop and think what the other person has positive in them. And for that, I think you have to make a little bit extra effort because you're so used to that mundane cycle of everyday chores and routine that you have to start thinking a little bit different and a little bit create an extra effort to do that.
Yes. Yes. And it keeps you in your heart.
Right.
You know, and that really is the foundation of our life. With education so readily available to most people now, people have become, they have developed a tendency to live from their mind.
Exactly.
And I believe it's living from our heart that really is the place to be.
Thank you, Dr. Joy. That is just wonderful. You have enriched us with your experience and knowledge, and we wish you all the best and hope you continue to spread the light. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Dilshad.
Thank you very much for being part of our show. Joy, before we leave, could you share with the audience your phone number and your contact information and the Success Institute, how it's helping people and, you know, making a difference in our lives?
Yes, I'd be happy to.